This is Sue Supriano for Rebel Radio, and today my guests are from Radio Ecce here in the Mission District of San Francisco, California. And I'm going to ask the DJs, three people here, actually we're in a car as we're doing this interview, fits right in with Rebel Radio, and I'm going to ask you to introduce yourselves. I know your DJ names are different than your real names, and you could tell me your DJ names and why you have those names, for starters. Who wants to start?
Hi, well, my DJ name is La Viuda Negra. It means the Black Widow. And in part, I took on that name because there used to be in the late 30s, early 40s in Los Angeles, a group of pachucas. They were actually a gang. And I was sort of impressed with their whole history and the identity that they created for themselves and so forth, and just the fact that they were really strong women that really took care of themselves. So I think that's pretty much where I got that name from. I do a bilingual...
Maybe you should even tell people what pachuca means, because okay. We have a wide audience here and they might not know what that means.
Okay, pachucos were the predecessors to the cholos. They used to wear the zoot suits, the really baggy pants and so forth. The men would have the really long, also, coats and the like.
So you're talking about Mexican-American culture in Southern California, basically, mm-hmm. or all over the United States, Southern California?
I think that it spread around to different cities as well, but I'm talking mostly about, Chicanos, and in this case, Chicanas from the L.A. area. What I do is I do a program on Radio X. I'm one of the founders of Radio X. We actually started working on Radio X over 2 years ago, and it took us about almost 6 months before we actually went on air, between when we started working on it and we actually went on air. I do a program mostly in Spanish. Sometimes I do it bilingually. That's called El Coscorrón. And basically it has all kinds of politics and culture from all over Latin America, but very urban when it comes to the music. I do punk in Espanol, ska in Espanol, some rap and rock in Espanol. And I do, I feature information of interest to the Latin American community here in the Mission District.
Great. Well, and now you don't even have a station. I don't know if you have a station. Your station got closed down by the FCC. Before we get into that, maybe you folks could just introduce yourselves. What's your name?
My name is Bismarck, and I do the radio show called Red Nation Speaks, which is a show about Native American music, cultural awareness, and spirituality, as well as interviews from those who... made history, and I'm talking about recent history since the active movements in the 60s, as well as talking to relatives of those who have made history of long time ago. I'm talking about those books that you would go to Supercrown and CEO, books of the American Indian, without having them names, but I'm talking about relatives of those people that are still living today.
Right.
In our tradition.
We'll hear some more about that in a few minutes. Then how about you?
Great. Well, I'm Hank Paschetti, and I do a show called The Death of Country Music, which is country music and bluegrass and punk rock with a working class perspective, mostly older stuff that's the genuine country music, and then newer stuff that is not coming out of Nashville, but out of places like Chicago and... San Francisco as well, here in San Francisco, things that's more political and a little bit louder, sometimes it's called country music for the hard of hearing, and basically just trying to use the radio to reach out to new communities that we might not be reaching if we were doing something like, say, a magazine.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks. So, La Viuda Negra, right? Since you're one of the founders, how many founders are there? I'd like to hear that. And what was this process that took you 6 months to get on the air? And what inspired you to start the station?
There were three of us, essentially. There was one person, DJ Mike Maton, who actually came up with a concept. Before this radio station, we were with another radio station here in the Mission, the first pirate, quote-unquote pirate radio station in the Mission called Radio Libre. And that started sort of disintegrating, following also the FCC coming down, but then also just within the group. There were some things going on. So Mike,
did the FCC stop that station, Radio Libre?
Yeah, and it actually continued at another location for a little while, but it wound up disintegrating sort of for a variety of reasons. And so at the time that was sort of all falling apart, and there were some things that we wanted to sort of try differently and so forth. This Mike Maton, he had heard my show on Radio Libre, which was called Te Sacri Chingo. I was doing it with a friend of mine from Mexico City, and he really liked the content. And so he and another person from Radio Libre contacted me and said, hey, how would you like to start up a new micro-powered radio station here in the Mission District? And I said, okay. What took us 6 months to get it all working before we went on air, we had to find a place where we could do it, a tall building that would not be somebody's home. That's something that we learned from past experiences with the Radio Libre, that was cheap, where we could put the antenna. We had to find lawyers who would be willing to represent us for free. We did not want to go onto the air, and in fact did not go onto the air until we knew we had that legal representation behind us. We wanted to do outreach to the community to try to ensure some real diversity. And then also just getting the equipment together and assembling it, and then having some technical problems and figuring all of that out. So altogether it was a bit of a long road before we went onto the air finally, and I believe it was April of 96 that we first started transmitting.
Mm-hmm. The Radio Eques first started transmitting. Oh, I had no idea you'd been on the air. I know that here in the Mission District, and let's tell people about the Mission District in San Francisco. It is a very diverse area with lots of Spanish-speaking people. The Native American population is somewhat concentrated here, and there's a lot of Asians and Caucasians, and just it's very diverse, but kind of known for being the most Spanish-speaking area of this city in San Francisco, California. So
I can tell you, being that I was born and raised in this city, especially in this neighborhood, and my father was born in this neighborhood too. The Mission District originally, as far as the Mission is concerned, and I can only go so far back, but originally it was an Irish and Italian neighborhood until after World War II, then the Mexicans and all the Spanish-speaking people started coming up here and started migrating. And my grandparents from Nicaragua came here in the late 40s, and then my father and my aunts, and I have countless cousins that were born here. So I mean, since the 80s, as I can remember as a kid, I noticed that a lot of new cultures are starting to come, like Indian cultures. I'm talking about people from India. And Native American population here would be primarily speaking about, like, mostly the Central American indigenous communities coming here, because actually the Native American population, like I'm talking about people from the reservations, they would most likely settle in Oakland. Being in the city is very unsafe for them, and they wouldn't be able to continue their tradition of going to a mountain and praying, or however they do things out there. Mm-hmm. And there is a Friendship House, which is a recovery program for Native Americans that are alcohol abusers, drug abusers, and stuff. But I mean, more cultures are coming every day, and that's what it's all about here.
Another thing about the Mission that's worth mentioning is that it's a really contested zone because of the fact that it's under rapid gentrification. In the past, it has been strongly Latino, and that's becoming less and less the case. More and more working class and poor people are being moved out of this neighborhood, and lots of fancy restaurants and fancy boutiques are opening up. And at the same time, there's also really, there's always historically been a really vibrant, I guess you would call it avant-garde or just a radical arts movement that's been sort of located here with small theaters and small little film groups and a really great school called the New College. All those things have been going on here, and those things are also being pushed out at the same time. So it is a really contested site, and it's been really important to have community radio here in the Mission District talking about these issues.
It's been a contested terrain from the very beginning. The oldest building in San Francisco is the Mission, which is Mission Dolores. And speaking of Native Americans, all of what's Dolores Park, for example, for anyone who's been in this area of San Francisco, is actually a Native American burial grounds, I believe. Is that correct, Bismarck? You know, there are a lot of... There's a history that goes much further back, is what I'm saying. But it's a very, very old neighborhood, and it's always been contested. But beginning with the indigenous presence here and on to now.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, like you're saying, it's important to have community radio. I'm sure that the voices of most of these people don't certainly get in the mainstream media.
Absolutely not. I mean, that's one of the things, that's one of the reasons why we founded, people, or what Camille and other folks founded Radio X, is to give a voice to the community, to have people be able to come on and do a show. And one of the things that Radio X has been really successful with is getting folks from the community to come on and do their stuff. So we've got guys, there's a group of folks that have a car club, and lowrider cars and the whole bit. And these guys are super into oldies music. And Mike Matone and I think you as well, Camille, had contacted them and said, "Hey, come on and do a show." They've been on doing this stuff. It's really popular in the Latino community here. And as well as that, they were bringing in other younger guys, also playing hip hop and all sorts of heavy metal and Espanol, that things that we would never have been hearing about.
Concentrating on stopping violence, especially with that particular show. These guys are also guys who have been in the Mission all of their lives, and they know what it's like to grow up as a young Latino man on the streets of these cities. And so they now are a little bit older, even though they're pretty young still. But really, their whole focus is always peace, peace on the streets. We have quite a few... Yeah, we do have a pretty good diverse base at this point. But also, I'd like to make a point about micro-powered radio and the power behind it. First off, I think anyone who listens to your show regularly, I'm sure, would have some sort of a consciousness of what the importance is of having access to media, to the media, and to the medium of the media, to getting certain information out that you would normally not get out. But think about a radio. A radio is something, you see homeless people with a radio, okay? When you take a look at our incredible, insane illiteracy rate in this country, especially among poor peoples and people of color, okay? And you see the direct relationship between that and getting put in prison and so forth. The radio is a way that you can get access to information in a way that you don't even have to know how to read. You can just hear it. It is easily accessible to all. You don't have to have a bunch of money to have a computer to get onto the internet. So that to me is something very, very powerful about micro-powered radio.
You could even make tapes and pass them around. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not too expensive either. And people all over the world have radios. In just all over the world, in the middle of the jungle, people have radios. And
you're also, the other nice thing about radio is that you really are, like I said before, you're really reaching out to people that you might not ordinarily be reaching if you were doing a book or a magazine or even staging a demonstration. Ordinary people that are just driving on the freeway are always flipping channels, and you always have the possibility of reaching those people that you would ordinarily never be hearing our point of view. I mean, they're certainly never going to hear it on KFOG or on KGO or any of the other big radio stations in this city. They won't talk about gentrification. They won't talk about what's happening in the mission. They won't talk about local issues, period.
They sure won't tell you about, for example, we have a show on rent, also Rock Against Rent. They certainly won't talk to you, for example, about what your rights are as a tenant and what you can do with landlords who are trying to push you out, which is happening. I mean, it's just rampant in this town right now. It's incredible. I've had it happen to myself, and there's so many other people as well. Mm-hmm. They're not going to tell you, for example, like I do on my show, they're not going to give you the most updated information about changing immigration laws and what that means for people who are undocumented or who are trying to get their papers and how to go about it and where to get free legal advice. They're not going to tell you any of that, you know. We do.
Well, we're talking with people here from Radio Ecces in the Mission District of San Francisco, California. And La Viuda Negra, I know you have to go, and you are one of the founders. And I'd like your words, when we're going to continue talking about other things and to other people, actually, but I'd like your words on the present situation with the FCC, which... I guess forced you off the air. They're not so thrilled they have these voices of the voiceless.
Yeah, that's definitely true. You know, it's a strange thing. I think all of us really with this project, we feel almost like it's our child, you know. I feel like I've really completed a circle with it, even though that by no means are we done. But I was one of the people who put up the antenna, and I was the one who wound up having to disconnect it. And I felt like I went full circle, at least at the space where we've been. We are not going to give up. We are not going to give up. We've been through this before with past radios, and there's just no way we're going off of the air. We don't back down that easily. Basically, to give a quick summary of what happened with the FCC came to our building, found where we were, served us with papers, and unfortunately also served the landlord. The landlord of whom is one of those landlords that's not around much. And so the landlord decided that he was going to have the antenna taken down. We found this out on a Monday evening right before I did my program. So I wound up doing the last program on the air until we find a new location. And thankfully, somebody did this as a favor of letting us know that this was going to happen, so we were able to actually save our equipment, because or else they would have just ripped the antenna right out from the transmitter, and that would have been not too good. But I would say, you know, we really see ourselves, and we want to emphasize that this isn't just about us, that we are part of a greater movement, the importance of that movement. We would like to encourage people to participate and start their own radio stations in their own areas and take control themselves, you know, and put out their own voice and give access to that important medium of radio to as many people as possible, especially those who have always been marginalized. Without it, we just don't have a hope for democracy or for social justice in this world unless we take that responsibility upon ourselves and do things like this. So, but this is not the end of Radio Ecces. This is just going to make us stronger, and we will return.
Well, we have a new DJ here who just came in the car, basically. What's your name?
Are you DJ? I'm DJ Edna. And I do the radio show for the Eviction Defense Network, which is an organization here in San Francisco that is made up of renters and people living in the projects, also renters, people living in the hotels, homeless folks, people living in their cars, folks from all different walks of life here in San Francisco.
Runners? What is it?
Renters.
Oh.
Who are trying to keep San Francisco affordable, trying to keep it possible for people to live here, and trying to keep housing available to people who are not insanely rich.
And for the listeners, I want to say that it's just San Francisco is, if not the most expensive city in the country, certainly one of them. And
yeah,
I think it might be the most expensive. And there's really huge amounts of huge numbers of homeless people here.
Yeah. So I do a show which basically involves interviews with different people who are working towards maintaining San Francisco as a city available to everybody, and also going to covering different supervisor hearings and other hearings that have impact on renters here. And so, but also just generally, like different, I tried to touch on different, like a lot of different aspects that affect people's lives here in San Francisco and the mission.
Well, that's great. That's so important, as I said. So much the people who don't have a voice. I want to say, as we're sitting here in the car and looking out the window and seeing people try to sell stuff and hustle on the street in the middle of a lot of cafes and a lot of action on the street here, that this is just another testimony to the fact of how you can do radio. And here you are hearing it all the world. But unfortunately, back to the fact that Radio Ekkes has just been taken off the air by the Federal Communications Commission. I would like to hear from whoever wants to talk about it about what your next plan is, and what's going on now.
Well, we're looking for relocation, looking for a place that we can stay in the Mission District, because that's where our strongest listenership happens to be. Although it can be picked up if you stand in the right spot, if other parts of the city.
You know, I'm actually going to interrupt you, because I realize that people tuning into this show for the first time might not have even an idea, without taking too much time to go into it. The basic deal is that stations that are under 100 watts can't get a license from the Federal Communications Commission. And it's one of these catch-22 things where you can't be on the air if you don't have a license, and unless you're 100 watts or over, which costs lots and lots and lots of money, like $1 million, you can't get a license, and therefore you can't be on the air. So the micro-broadcasting movement, some people refer to it as pirate radio, but we don't like to use that word, most of us, because we think we have a right to be on the air, and we're not pirates, and this is the voice, as you're hearing, the voice of all the many, many, many folks who don't usually have access to the media. So we think it's our right to do that.
I think what the point of this radio is, it doesn't matter what class you're in, whether you're high class, whatever, where you're exercising your First Amendment as freedom of speech and expression, as well as, I can't speak for other DJs, but when I do my show, it's more of like an art to me, piecing together different types of music and representing different cultures is what, in the tradition of the San Francisco spirit of putting it all together and letting everybody know that we're all really not that different, and we're all pretty much the same. We all have the same feelings. We all have the love for our communities, and we want everybody to be safe. We want to stop the violence. We want to increase the peace. And, you know, whether the FCC wants to say that it's illegal or legal or however it is they like to say it, it's all for a good cause. We're not out to cause trouble or start anything. We're just, you know, I mean, we're all doing our part because we live here. And so I think, you know, we should take a responsibility and initiative to take care of our homes and our family. And that's what we're here for, basically. And everybody is here to have a good time. You can't repress people's energy. I don't think you can do that. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I don't think that the FCC is going to be successful in trying to shut down Radio X. We've got a number of people that are just really committed to this project. And one of the things, though, as far as relocating is concerned, is that's difficult for us is that we don't want to be operating out of somebody's house. We found that that doesn't work. That's been people's experience with Radio Libre and other radio stations as well, including Free Radio Berkeley, which started that way in somebody's house. That tends to really wear down the other tenants pretty quickly. And the great thing about Radio X is that we had been renting in a building with a number of other tenants, just a suite, a real cheap suite, where we were able to do our thing, have an antenna on the roof, and we were all fine and getting more and more listenership all the time until the FCC came, and they told us to shut down. We didn't have any intention of doing that, but they also talked to the landlord, and this is part of a pattern of harassment that the FCC is using these days. They've used it against all of the so-called pirate station, the micro-powered radio stations here in San Francisco that I know of. And it's basically very effective. They don't have to seize any of your equipment. They don't have to drag you into court. They don't have to hold a gun to your head or do any of that unpleasant, violent, or legal tactics at all. All they have to do is place a phone call to the landlord and say, you may be facing a $10,000 fine, and he freaks out, and you're off the air. And that's happened over and over again, and we're in a situation now where we're looking for a landlord who is not only political and on our side, but willing to face up to the FCC. And that's not an easy thing to do. It's a really daunting task, and I think it's something that anybody else that wants to put on free radio in any city is probably going to deal with. Although, as DJ Edna was pointing out to me earlier, in other countries, say in Mexico, the cops will just come and take all your equipment. That's not what they do in the United States. We have what's called, you know, friendly fascism here. No.
They have done it, actually, in a lot of stations, as a matter of fact.
They have.
Not
right.
In this area, but in Florida, they sure did. And
They had the SWAT team on in Florida, so
yes.
That's, you know.
Yeah, it really is an issue of free speech. I'm really glad you brought that up. Well, we only have a few seconds left here. Does anybody want to say anything in closing?
Well, stay tuned to 102.5. We're going to be back on the air one of these days, sooner, hopefully, as opposed to later. Mm-hmm. And and before we went off the air, we had a whole bunch of new interesting shows being pitched. So it'll be interesting. It'll be for the mission, by the mission. So.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so very much, people from Radio Equis, Radio X in the Mission District of San Francisco, California. My name's Sue Supriano for Rebel Radio. Thanks for listening.